I am super excited about you and your desire to minister to others, to be licensed or ordained, to learn the skills of ministry. Today, we're going to talk about visiting those who are sick or those who need encouragement at places like hospitals and care facilities. So put your seatbelt on. This is one of those presentations that have a lot of content, but will help you understand how to visit care facilities. First of all, I want to start with James 5, verse 13. If anyone is in trouble, he should pray. If anyone is happy, let him sing songs of praise. If any one of you is sick, he should call the elders of the church. So elders are the leaders, the licensed officiants or ordained officiants or ministers, to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man, and this is a minister, a leader, and it could be someone not ordained. I want to be very clear about that. But in our context, we're a ministry school, and we license and ordained, trained ministers and officiants. The prayer of a righteous man or woman is powerful and effective. I am super excited about what God is doing as we talk about what happens in the care facilities that we are called to minister in. And just think about this. Just contemplate. People are alone to think about God in others. People are getting better, or they are facing their mortality. Those first two points. People are alone. And in some ways, my wife and I, we joke about that. You know, as we get older, we've realized that every human's a head case. And what we mean by that is that we think, and people think, and people are facing things in these care facilities. And I think as ministers, often we've underestimated that. I will say I did. When I was first in ministry, it was sort of like it was my job to go to hospital visits. And I did it because I just enjoy work and I did it. But I can say that I think I underestimated at times what was going on. And sometimes my prayers were underestimated when I would see it more like a thing on my schedule and not the powerful opportunity for what God was going to do. And again, God did many mighty things. And I, in some ways, I don't like to tell stories about then is then and now is now. But experience has taught me that God is at work in care facilities. People are looking for God's help and in need of prayer and anointing with oil to do an anointing prayer ceremony, which we're going to talk about in another presentation. People may need a spiritual warfare prayer. Some people are attacked in care facilities by the evil one. People share a confession of faith. There are people that have burdens. Many times, those who are facing their mortality have a burden, and I'm surprised at that. It, you know, that they, in a sense, cannot die until they have burdened their soul about something. And there are times when I would not even be intentional about it. And I'd think about it. This was when I was a young minister, a young officiant. And I would go there, and here's my scripture passage. And then all of a sudden, the person would look up to me and say, young man, knowing I was an ordained minister, knowing that I had clergy confidentiality privileges, all of a sudden, they would unburden their soul. And the person, and I remember many of these types of conversations, the person they would think about might even have been long gone. Something that happened in their family 50, 60, 70 years ago. Some sin that they did, that they hid, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, or 2 years ago. And in that moment that the soul is preparing for glory, and the work of death has begun. And in these care facilities, sometimes that's relevant. And people are interested to really unburden their souls. Therefore, people make a confession to God in their faith. They make a confession to unburden their soul, to ask God to forgive or to forgive someone else. You know, I sort of did these out of order, but they're basically, to me, those are similar things, the confession of faith and a confession to unburden someone's soul. Over the years, I've had the opportunity to lead, to officiate many people into a relationship with God. And that's a form of confession, too, as we've talked about before, where I am a sinner, and this is a burden in my soul for this long time. But often, it's that confession of faith then comes with making amends. Again, we have such opportunity to serve and to lift people up. People may desire to be baptized, and you know that presents itself its own set of problems. You know, do you do immersion? Do you do pouring and sprinkling? What if they're not going to be leaving the hospital? Of course, then maybe it would be sprinkling. Maybe they need to receive the Lord's Supper. So what happens in care facilities is an amazing opportunity for you as a leader to go to these facilities as a licensed officiant, a licensed ordained officiant or minister. And what we're going to talk about now is the actual visit. Like, what do you do? We're going to get very detailed. So first of all, it's important to have the credentials for the visits and ceremonies. And I would say at Christian Leaders Alliance, get your ordination ID. Have your letter of good standing in your glove compartment or another place, so if asked, you can produce it. I also recommend getting business cards that you can leave with the person or family you are visiting, or sometimes just to leave at the nurse's station. In care facilities, credentials are very important. They're very important for the nursing staff. I believe they're going to be continued important. With epidemics and so forth going around, and then post these sicknesses and all of those things, pandemics and whatnot, I actually believe that the credentials for clergy are going to increase in their importance. You know, I remember way before HIPAA laws back in the 1980s and 90s, you could go into a facility and just say you're clergy, and they would just give you the clergy pass, and there you go. But I've noticed today that the IDs are asked for, and they are important. And once they see that you are trained and that you're helping the professional staff, because there is soul care. You know, someone can go to a care facility, and the medical community has acknowledged that the care of the soul is extremely important, and that's your calling in your ministry. So get your credentials. Let's talk about your appearance. So when you think about appearance, is how you present yourself when you go to a care facility. And I always have noticed that that clergy and ministers who pay attention to their appearance, they are all the more effective in ministering to people in care facilities. So positive appearance without cologne or perfume. There are some people that get an allergic reaction to smells and to cologne or perfume. Make sure you have fresh breath. So get your peppermints out. I remember my first internship with an accomplished minister in terms of visiting at care facilities, and he said that getting peppermints was one of the, as important as bringing your Bible. Now, again, the Bible was the most important thing to bring, but he wanted to really make that clear to me. Dress as a minister, the sort of minister uniform. Now, let's talk about that a little bit. I'm not saying that you have to have a clergy collar and all that, but that certainly does help. And we get asked all the time to develop some sort of clergy badge at Christian Leaders Alliance, and maybe by the time you see this, because I'm not doing this presentation over, we have something. But there is that concept of, you know, wearing the clergy type of uniform. So when you come into the care facility, you have your ID and you have your clergy shirt or something that says, you know, that you are an ordained minister. You know, the nurses have nurse outfits on and the doctors have doctor outfits on. Now, In terms of like a minister, you know, there's a trend sort of like in churches where ministers just kind of wear casual dress and all of that. And that's a great trend, and I participate in that. But I know when I go to a hospital, I want to dress that clergy look. And so for whatever that means for you, that's definitely something to keep in mind. Remember when you dress as a minister or as an officiant that this is an official act of ministry. And the official is something that is very important. Remember that not only is this an official act of ministry, it communicates confidence to the staff that's taking care of the person you're visiting. And remember that the clergy designation is helpful and you have access to the hospital or care facility chaplain if they have one. And the chaplain is extremely helpful and the chaplain appreciates that you have a, in a sense, minister uniform on with a minister ID. They will even, in some hospitals, they will give you a hospital ID with a picture ID and so forth if you go to the chaplain's office. And what the chaplain will ask for is your ID. Many times the chaplain will look up your ordination or your license and they can find it at Christian Leaders Alliance. And, you know, they're verifying your identity to know that you are an ordained minister. So now let's shift gears here and talk about your ministry preparation for your visit. So what I've learned, and I've learned it over the years, and I've seen this practiced, that there are certain essential checklist blanks to go over to prepare for ministry at care facilities. The first thing that I ask is that the Lord, I pray for having a listening and positive presence. Now, why is that first? Well, it can be difficult to go into care facilities. And it can be, you face things in these care facilities that even make you question God's will sometimes. That's just the honest truth. Now, as a believer and through the power of the Holy Spirit, those temptations come there. And you know, we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. But there is that positive regard, that positive presence where you're prayed up. And whatever situation you face there, and there are some surprising ones that may occur, and some tragic situations, you sense the power of the Holy Spirit, and you are prayed up for this situation. You know, one of the things that over the years that I've done is role play a situation. So, you know, another thing I do for ministry preparation is practice potentially difficult visits like you would practice a speech. So, and we've had some very, you know, if you were to look at some of the Ryan Gump Ministry Home over the years, you know, so my wife will play the patient and then I'll play the minister, and then I'll ask my wife to, how would you feel if you were visited by me? And she would share like, well, you know, I notice that you don't look me in the eyes, or you look me too strong in the eyes, or she'll, you know, say something about some of my people smart acumen, bedside mannerisms. And it all helps to really ask yourself, are we ready? And again, you ultimately can't take too much time doing this. You just go for it. And every time you go for it, you gain more experience. You know, a part of that is, you know, when you ask for your wife's evaluation or you ask for your family's evaluation, what we go over are these types of questions. So ask your family, ask your wife, your spouse, your husband, ask your family to critique the role play visit. Did you come off as caring and positive? Did you smile in a relaxed way? Did you listen? Did you do the visit with confidence? Did you read scripture and pray? You know, sometimes it's so funny, we'll do the role play and, you know, I just like don't even get up the scripture because it's obvious that's what I'm going to do. And then my wife will say, are you going to read scripture with me today? And I didn't take that serious in the role play. And then I'll go back and read scripture and so forth. Because remember, the centerpiece is the word in prayer. And to get comfortable with, I had to learn about getting comfortable with opening the Bible. It is interesting when you're actually on a hospital visit that all of a sudden you can't remember where the book of Colossians is. And it's like, I know where Colossians is. It's in the New Testament, right? But in the situation, for whatever reason, or somebody will, interrupt you, and all of a sudden you forget where Colossians is. So what I do in preparation is take a little bookmarker, and I'm going to do Psalms, I'm going to read a Psalm. I'm going to do something in Colossians, and I'll have bookmarks in different spots that I'll prepare already at home. Now, I will also ask someone, and we're going to talk about that in a little bit, if there's a passage they want to read, and then you're just going to have to know your Bible and get to it. But it's all about confidence. So I like to do ministry preparation. So your ministry preparation is very important. Even if you don't have a hospital visit, sometimes it's fun to play a role play like a game. If you're with another ministry couple, You know how people do charades? And charades are like role acting. You know, if you know of another minister, a single minister, a ministry couple, and let's say you have a friend, Susan, who is going into ministry, and then so you and your husband act Susan and her husband, or let's say Susan and then Mary. Mary's a single gal. She's going to ministry. So the three of you are serving the Lord and called into ministry. You know, have each other over and do role playing, and it's actually kind of interesting because humor and learning go on together, and vice versa. You know, if your friend George is going into ministry and you are, and you're all sort of in this together, you're at Christian Leaders Institute, have fun. Instead of playing charades, have fun role playing, visiting care facilities. Now, and do not feel guilty about if like things can be kind of funny here and there, because what you're doing is you're using play to learn. And play is really good in terms of, you know, it's interesting, and you know, you're it's like I learned that in golf. I like to golf. Golf is play. But you know, as I golf with other good golfers and they're playing and I'm playing, I'm learning a lot. Why don't we do that more in ministry? And it's pretty awesome. Anyway, so learn, prepare. So now let's just pretend now we're ready to start visiting people. We're ready to go for it. Let's talk about the critical elements of that. What does that look like? Well, the first thing is to get permission of visit. So depending on your relationship with the family, get permission to visit. Now, sometimes you're close to the family. You know this person, and all I got to do is just stop in when you can. Although, more and more, you know, it used to be that you could just do that. But today, I would, even if I knew the family very well, I would slip a quick text over there if they have texting and they're close, or send an email. I also feel it's advisable to call the care facility so that you are expected. More and more, this is becoming really crucial. Ask yourself if you are in a quality relationship of blessing with the person you want to visit. Again, don't overplay this, because you know, maybe you can overthink this. But if there is a definite conflict, you want to maybe go forward differently than if there is not a conflict. Usually this does not apply. I just have seen over the years that very occasionally someone is trying to recover and you know there's a conflict, you know, and again, how things happen, the devil mucks things up. And you do not want to make the visit about reconciliation with you. You're there to minister to that person. So anyway, those are just considerations. So the first thing you want to do is definitely get permission of visit. Now, let's talk about arriving at the care facility. So park in the clergy parking if available. And you have a clergy pass that comes with your ordination package. Go to the visitor's desk and get out your clergy ID to show it. Again, just have it ready. A lot of times, care facilities, the reception desk is manned by volunteers. And I remember Kern Bredema. This is that minister that taught me how to do hospital visits when I was in my 20s on my internship, and he was really good at it. So we would get out of the car, and he would say, get your IDs out. Now, in some hospitals, this was in Chicagoland, United States, in some hospitals, we actually had a ID that was made from the chaplain's office, and he would be like, get your ID out, you know. And then other times we would have our ordination card that came from the Christian Reformed denomination. He would go, get your ID out. And I would often say that myself, well, don't they know us by now? We've been back, you know, we had a church of 1,000 people, they should know us. So I asked him, I said, well, don't they know us? And he said, there are volunteers. Somebody could be a first-time volunteer. And they have a job description, and their job description is to check IDs. And you don't want to put them in the position where you look like you're offended that they should know you, because they're trying to do their work, and they're volunteers. And serve the staff here. Have your ID out. And come in and have your ID out. And even if they say, he would say, even if they say, oh, Kerm, welcome back, just have it there. And because they look better in their work, that they're following procedures. And more and more, those with security clearances and all of that going up, it's not only the relationship that you have with people at the care facilities, but you always respect them. Their job is to check IDs, and you are respecting them. And that's what Kerm would say, is that when you come to the facility, you gain an amazing reputation if you respect their procedures, even if, you know, they happen again and again. You want the volunteers to say, Kerm always shows his ID. Even though I know Kerm, he shows his ID. And sometimes, Kerm once said that people say, why do you always show me the ID? And Kerm said, is that what you're supposed to do, check IDs when people come in and whatnot? And the care facility person says, yes. Well, I respect you. And then they joke about it. And then it becomes like at one care facility we would visit, it would become a joke because we'd get out our IDs and the person would show me your ID again. But it was respect. Everybody has a role in care facilities. I always appreciated Kerm's attitude about that. So go to the visitor desk and get out your clergy ID card to show it. Or in many cases, if there's not a visitor desk, they're still have the ID ready. Go to the restroom to wash your hands. And of course, if you need to use the facilities, use it there and wash your hands. Again, Kerm was so amazing at this. He a lot of times, if a nursing staff sees you coming, they will notice that you wash your hands, and it will get around. You know, that that clergy member washes their hands. That's very assuring. Before you enter into the room, seek the nurse's station or reception station to report in. You know, this is, again, respect. Don't just walk to the room. Sometimes there's lawn care patients, and you know where they are. Still, check in. This also has another implication, and that is, like, if a family member comes, they're and you're partnering with the care staff, they'll often say, the minister came to visit your mom, or something like that. It's just really neat. And here's just something to know. Do not ask for medical details. There are HIPAA laws, they call them, that there's confidentiality, and don't put nurses and care people and doctors in the position where they have to say, I'm sorry, I can't tell you that situation. You know, a lot of it is just showing respect. And showing respect is to do those things and to make that part of your acumen. Now, let's talk next about care facility visit etiquette. So, here's some basic things to keep in mind. Short visits as rule of thumb. Now, there are exceptions to this. If somebody is feeling extremely revelatory or a longer visit is needed, that is fine. But I will tell you, short visits are rule of thumb. Try to keep your visits 15 minutes at most, a half hour. I would consider a half hour visit a long visit. Now, somebody may say, well, you know, why don't you just sit there and sit with them? And I would say, be very careful. If they're really a close family member, that's one thing. That's the role of the family. Your role is to come in and you have a ceremony to do. We're going to open the Word of God. We're going to pray. We're going to get down to business with the Lord. What that does is it edifies the office and it helps people get down to business. But you just sit there and, you know, some people go like, well, aren't you there to hold someone's hand? Yes, but your first thing is to minister to someone's heart and their soul. And to keep that in mind, that keep your visits short. Leave room if procedures need to be performed. You know, the all of a sudden the doctor shows up. And it is great that the doctor sees you in there. And, you know, I'm Dr. Barbara. Hello, Barbara. Hey, let me leave. And sometimes the parishioner, you know, wants you to stay in the room. And often I'll say, well, you know, Dr. Barbara's here. You know, I'll just go out there and get a cup of coffee. I'll come back in, oh, let's say 20 minutes. Is that okay, Dr. Barbara? And Dr. Barbara will say, oh, no, you can come back in 5. I'm only going to be here for a little bit or 10 minutes. Okay, great. Then I'll come back at that time. And the only time that I stick around is if somebody says, you know, right now I'm really cloudy and I want to talk to Dr. Barbara and I want you here, Pastor, to hear this all, to remind me what was said and to write down for me you know, what is being said, and Dr. Barbara is okay with that, because by the HIPAA laws, if someone gives you permission to hear something, fine. And so then sometimes I will stay. But I'm still even there very circumspect, because if you stay and you write things down, and then the family of, let's say, an elderly individual comes and they're talking to the doctor, and then you're there and you're hearing it one way and the family hears it another way. Sometimes you can get involved in a meddling relationship when you did not intend to be part of a meddling relationship, because then maybe grandma or, you know, the elderly individual will say, talk to the pastor. She heard it this way. Talk to the pastor. He heard it this way. Talk to the minister. You know, and again, those are just little things that I've learned over the years is, if possible, try to leave the room. Be sickness free to the best of your knowledge. I mean, this is somewhat of an obvious one, but sometimes people, well, I think I'm getting over this cold. I'm feeling better today. I'm not going to worry about it. No, be sickness free. Consider wearing a cloth mask in certain situations. And I actually believe in the post-COVID world, wearing a mask. Now, I noticed now dentists wear masks and when they're doing their official work. Nurses, doctors wear masks. I believe this is going to be a thing for clergy. So Christian Leaders Alliance, I know that we're going to get a mask with a little logo. Again, it just shows that official thing, a cloth mask we're working on. Now, maybe we're going to get it. Maybe we won't get it. If we get it, and maybe by the time you're seeing this, we already have a mask, great. If we don't have it, then we didn't get it. I mean, but what I'm saying is I believe that etiquette is going to be continuing on, and it may be something you want to consider when you go into a room. Now, if you're totally healthy and the person is recovering or it's not appropriate, it will be self-obvious. But if somebody is feeling much stress anyway, then wearing that cloth mask in certain situations would be very helpful. Talk with your volume lower when you're in a care facility. But remember, meet the hearing needs of your client. There are times when someone is not able to hear very well, or they don't have their hearing aid with them, or it's not working. Yet sometimes you have to look them right in the eye and speak. And once you get to know them, find out what is their good ear. A lot of times they have a good ear and then they have a bad ear. And it's very appropriate to talk louder to someone, and then if you notice they're not hearing, can you hear me? Is your other ear better? And then to walk over to the other side of the bed or the other side of the person sitting in a chair is very appropriate. Don't expect anyone to entertain you or make conversation with you. A lot of times people aren't feeling good and they don't really want to talk very much. And when they do talk, they want to say exactly what they want to say. If they want to unburden their soul, they just want to say it. And don't then say to them, well, you know, why did you do this? Or, you know, give them a lot of questions about it. You know, you're here to listen. And then would you like me to pray for that concern? Would you like me to help you say a prayer of confession about that you, this really is troubling you? And many times they will say yes. Do not ask professional caregivers questions that they are not allowed to answer. And again, I go back to those HIPAA rules, and I want to go back in the etiquette and make sure that we are reminded of those things. Now let's talk about the actual visit itself. So here's a sort of step-by-step visit itself checklist. So first of all, now you've been at the nurse's station now, and you're all checked in. So enter the room with a gentle smile. You know, be careful not to overdo this, because in a lot of ways, someone's there for a reason, and you don't want to sort of like disrupt things with being too enthusiastic. You don't need to oversell that God is the Lord of all and all things belong to Him and all things are in His hands. Come in with a gentle confidence, a gentle smile. Give a greeting such as, my wife Pam and I are praying for you that you get through this situation right now, or that the surgery goes well, or that each day God is with you. One thing, be very careful about, and back to this greeting, think about it before you get into the room. Like, what would be an appropriate greeting? Here's the next thing. Don't tell them they look rough, or flatter them as how well they look. You know, and this happens so much in clergy visits, and honestly, it's annoying. Is to like, oh, George, you're not looking good today. Oh, I can tell this was really challenging for you. You know, or you know, your eyes look puffy, or you know, I can see that they had the person who does hair has not showed up yet. You know, all of those things, you know, stay away from that. Don't call attention to someone, and then don't go the other way. You know, hey, I'm here. Oh, wow. You know, you look great. Even though their hair is greasy and they don't feel great, be so careful that when you come in, you give a professional, godly greeting. And what I mean by professional is one that's that confident, one that's gentle with a gentle smile, one that, you know, you're not, you know, making them in either way call attention to their own appearance. Usually, but not always, they want to talk about their experience at the care facility. This is interesting too. you know, you'll say something like, so you come in with your gentle smile, you give the greeting, and just pause a little bit, and they'll start talking. Some will start talking about their care. And if something's not going well, you know, they'll start saying things like, you know, the nurse here is ignoring me. Or, you know, remember, they're not feeling well, so maybe they're not at their best place right now. Or they'll talk about how well it's going. And you listen. Now, if they're, in a sense, gossiping about the nurse or something like that, this is a good time to keep that gentle smile and say, you know, I am sure that she is doing the best she can. And I know that you are loved by God. You know, the point is to keep it positive and don't get caught up. You know, this has happened so often where someone is having a bad day and they start complaining about the nurse, and then the clergy get caught up in, you know, oh, I'm going to go talk to that nurse. So a minister goes out and said, you know, Betty here is complaining about her lack of service. And then, but what has really happened is Betty right now is in a miserable self state. And the nurse has been in there more than all the other nurses have been, you know, more than the other patients. And Betty is coming off complaining, and you come out there only to make the nurse feel worse. You know, in a lot of ways, be very careful about that. You are, by a privilege of being an ordained or licensed officiant, you're on the staff to bring care. Don't get caught up in that drama. And you don't need to go to the nurse's station at the end of the visit and say, Betty has been really complaining a lot about you. I just want to give you that feedback. No. Pray for the nurses. Now, in the case of Betty, you know, it's okay that Betty complains. But it's also, you're part of there to give her hope and pray for her and open the Word of God. And maybe your being there by praying and opening the Word of God sort of helps Betty to appreciate the nursing staff. Now, be also careful that you're not going to pick passages about do not gossip and do not, you know, to trying to heal Betty of her complaining attitude. Let the Lord do that. Your work is to bring comfort and to bring encouragement. Usually, not always, they want to talk about the people who visited them at their care or their care provider. Be careful to keep things positive. And I can't stress that enough. This is a visit where you're keeping things positive. Now, you're there, you've had a few minutes of small talk and so forth. Now comes the visit ceremony. I'm just going to pop over to talk to you about the visit ceremony. You are an officiant, a licensed or ordained officiant. You are a minister. You are bringing in to this room, this care facility, this meeting, and maybe this meeting is in Skype, and sometimes more and more that's happening, where you're visiting someone on their little smartphone, and you're visiting them. Whatever that meeting is, you are bringing in a ceremony. It's an official work of the Lord ceremony for this person. So, what does that look like? Well, disclose that you are here for them. If they need a minister, if you are one-on-one, you can inform them that this is of confidential nature. Remember, we talked before about the clergy privilege. I have been surprised over the years how this has come into play. So then you open the scripture. I ask them if there's a scripture passage they want you to read. I do that. If they say no, comfortably open your Bible or your phone app. And remember, I mentioned before about a Bible that has some tabs in there or some markers so you know where you're going to turn. Read, 5 minutes of scripture, seeking to help relevant passages before them. So, this part, this first section of the ceremony is really getting into opening the Word of God and to, give that disclosure, especially if they don't really know you or know how you roll or know how to work with clergy. I believe it's important that you disclose that this is confidential, even though you can assume they know it, but how would they know that? That's what over the years, I would be like, don't people know this? No, they don't know that. So if I were to do a role play with you a little bit, let's say you're the person laying down, and I'd say, hey, George, I'm here to see you. And what a privilege that I'm allowed as a clergy member to come here to have a one-on-one conversation and know that this visit is confidential. It's all part of the blessing to you and ministry to you. I'd like to open up with a scripture reading. Is there any passage that you would like me to share? George might say, yeah, read Psalm 23. Good, read Psalm 23. And then after you read Psalm 23, then maybe flip over to another passage that you've prepared that maybe applies to their situation. And in all within a 5-minute scenario. So that's the first segment. So let's now talk about the next segment of the visit. So the next segment is the prayer or confession. Now, say things like, can I pray for you then? Is there anything you want to share for me to pray about? This permission thing, notice, can I pray for you? Yes, Pastor. Oh, thank you so much. Is there anything you want to share for me to pray about? This is again an interesting moment. Is there anything that you want to share? And what I have found is that it might not be about the reason they're at the hospital. It is about something else. So after they share, pray for their blessing. So they're healing, in clean details of what they asked for. So they might ask you to pray for a burden that they're sharing. Pray for that. But then, and also pray for their healing. Keep prayer simple and short, and have the anointing oil ready if they want you to anoint them. In another presentation, I'm going to talk about the anointing oil ceremony. But I'll say one thing about it here is some people want to be anointed with oil and some people do not. What I recommend is to have the anointing oil with you in every visit. And what I do when I'm in these situations is I just basically say, George, I have some anointing oil with me. Or we can just pray for you. And a lot of times people will say, oh, thank you. Or people will just say, oh, just pray for me is fine. So at the visit, let's do a role play now to kind of clarify this even more so. I would say I've read scripture now, so now we go to the next thing. George, can I pray for you? Is there anything that you want to share for me to pray about? And George says, yes, I'm feeling really bad about the relationship with my brother. He's not visited me, and really, we have not been getting along for years. Okay. George, let's pray. And I'm going to pray for your healing, and I'm also going to pray for that relationship, that the Lord opens the door. So then you pray, Lord, George has shared that he's burdened about a relationship with his brother. And I pray, Lord, that somehow you open the door for healing in this relationship. And George is here because he's recovering from surgery. And I pray, Lord, that you will bring him healing. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, that is a simple prayer ceremony. Now, sometimes somebody is there and you know they want to be anointed with oil. And so a lot of times, I noticed, this is just another thing I've noticed, that people want to be anointed with oil when family members are there. Now, if family members are here and it's not one-on-one, that clergy privilege is not there like it is in the one-on-one. And I often notice that in one-on-one, you can anoint with oil. But I also notice that when there's more people, family members, it feels more like appropriate or more of a thing to do the anointing of oil. Now, again, these are all like things that you'll notice through the work of the Holy Spirit. Now, some of you will just anoint with oil every time, and that's beautiful. And that's, if that's your tradition, you know, that's very appropriate. For other people, anointing with oil every time is not as accepted, or I should say, accepted is the wrong word, welcomed. So anyway, keep all these things in mind. So now you've read the Word of God, you've prayed, and next you're going to leave. So what I find that's really helpful when you're going to leave is to, let them know you're going to leave, and you're going to depart. And what I find helpful is to keep in mind a few things. Leave a devotional gift. I remember Kerm Ridema, that first minister that I was with, he would leave a devotional gift. And the devotional gift that he would leave with things like, it was called Someone Cares, I remember that. And all it was Bible passages that were written in large print. And they were like the good ones in terms of situations when somebody is struggling. God cares, cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. I remember that was one of the passages. And you can find these optional devotional gifts, and by all means, leave that type of a gift. Some people say leave flowers and all that stuff, and I've come to the opinion that let family bring flowers, and everybody's bringing flowers. As a minister or as an officiant, bring a devotional gift. If there's a gift, and again, you're not going to bring a gift every time. I realize that. But leave a gift if you would like, and I recommend a devotional one. Just my own bias, I believe. Leave your card. This is very important because sometimes when you visit people, they're sort of with it. Their souls are connected through prayer. Leave your card. Ask them if there's anyone you want them to contact with a message from them. This is so neat to do that. End with a blessing. Here's a sample. Hey, George, I'm leaving now. May the Lord bless you and keep you, and may he be with you now and always. Just a beautiful blessing is, such a positive regard. And to be able to do that and to in this ceremony, it's like a worship service. So you come in there, you have your greeting, so you share the Lord is greeting with them, and then they respond by talking about their life a little bit and, you know, and keeping it short. And then you respond by opening the Word of God, you know, asking them if they have a passage. And then after the Word of God, you ask them to respond. Is there anything that you want prayed for, or do you have, you know, anything you want to share that I can put in the prayer? And then there's that, you know, just pray that I get better, or pray for my conflict situation, or I feel bad about something. Can you pray for me there? And then you pray for that. So then you bring the Lord in the ceremony even again. So you, again, you've got this, you know, connections, talking, listening, repeatedly going on. And then after the prayer, there's the, you know, you're ready to leave. So, you know, you ask if there's anything you can, you know, do. And then you leave with a blessing, and the worship service has ended. And it's beautiful. Now, I want to add one thing, is you could do communion and bring the elements, especially if you ask permission first, or if that's expected in your sort of tradition. What I like to have is in my possession, I like to have a communion set. We've taught how to do communion earlier in this class, but there are little like portable communion sets, and it's a beautiful thing to take them along like a chaplain would do. And you've been taught how to do communion, the Lord's Supper, that is, and that can be a beautiful piece of the visit. So, but again, if you add communion, you do the Word of God section, and then after the Word of God, you open it up to communion, and then do the prayer section. Is there anything I can pray for? Now, sometimes that can be mixed up, where you do the communion first, the Bible passage, or you do the Bible passage, you do the prayer, then communion. You know, I have found that the Bible passage, communion, and then ending in prayer and the, quote, benediction is a powerful ceremony in worship service to do. So anyway, I give you God's blessing as you are called to be an officiant, to lead others in their walk with God. May God bless you and keep you as you are serving others, as you serve the Lord.